Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Each year, millions of wild animals are killed by the U.S. government in support of agricultural interests, the livestock industry, and hunting activities. The agency responsible is Wildlife Services, a federal program that was established more than a century ago and falls under the USDA. Now, recently, the activities of Wildlife Services have come under greater scrutiny, one reason being the number of animals killed by the department rose significantly in 2013. And the activities of Wildlife Services are felt by many to be rather secretive. Now, Oregon Congressman Peter DeFazio has called Wildlife Services one of the most opaque and obstinate departments I've dealt with. Well, the heat is about to be turned up at Wildlife Services due to a new petition being filed. And to discuss what's going on at Wildlife Services, I'm very pleased to welcome Tim Rehm, Staff Attorney, Endangered Species Program at the Center for Biological Diversity. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tim, so what exactly is Wildlife Services and how did it get started?
Well, Wildlife Services is a federal agency. It's under the Department of Agriculture, under a subheading of the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. And it's an agency that, how else to put it, it kills animals. It used to be known as Animal Damage Control, and that gives you a little bit of a hint, a little bit more of a hint than the Orwellian term Wildlife Services. It's an agency whose job it is to kill animals that are perceived to be somehow damaging the economic interest, generally of farmers or ranchers, sometimes also other businesses. And so what happens is the Wildlife Services makes deals with individuals, businesses, counties, states, and then goes in and does the killing for them of any animals that business or that government agency might think is somehow problematic to somebody's bottom line.
So what regulations guide the actions of Wildlife Services?
Well, I mean, the answer to that might be none.
Wow.
Yeah, there are not a whole lot of federal agencies that don't have a set of regulations that guide them. But that was really a big part of what got the Center for Biological Diversity interested in this as a legal issue. We think that they ought to be governed by a set of regulations. Of course, they're governed by federal laws like all of us are and like anybody else would be. You know, anything that theoretically, you know, a federal agency couldn't do, Wildlife Services probably couldn't do anyway. But as far as, you know, some sort of regulation saying how they have to report their activities, regulation saying what kinds of lethal means that they can use to poison or trap or shoot or snare an animal, regulations that say the reasons why they could kill those animals, or what kind of non-lethal types of measures, preventative measures, need to be done before you go in and kill animals. There are no regulations governing any of this. And that's why we think this is a rogue agency that really needs to be stopped.
Yeah. Expand even further, Tim. What are the problems with Wildlife Services?
Well, I mean, I think for most Americans, even what Wildlife Services considers to be a success is something that we'd consider to be a problem. I mean, if you don't mind, just a little bit of a litany here. In the last couple of years, each couple of years, this agency has killed more than 300,000 red-winged blackbirds. It kills about 75,000 coyotes a year, about 12,000 prairie dogs a year, 500 river otters. It kills hundreds of black bears, hundreds of mountain lions, hundreds of gray wolves, and tens of thousands of beavers every year. Altogether, they've killed in the last decade 475 different species of animals. I was going to make a list of the different kinds of birds that they've killed, and I went to anhingas, bitterns, buntings, cardinals, cranes, curlews, doves, eagles, finches, and I got up to the F's, and I thought it would just take too long to list all the different species that they're killing. And so,
wow.
So you wonder why they do this. And I'm sorry, but I can't give you an answer because they won't give us an answer. I mean, in some cases, it might be simple. You know, some rancher claims that coyotes are harming its sheep herd. And so they've got some kind of deal with Wildlife Services. So Wildlife Services comes in and they try to poison coyotes. They have these exploding poison baits that animals will bite into and the poison will explode up into their throats. They have snares, you know, that will catch an animal by the neck, and as the animal struggles, the neck will either break or it'll be choked as it's struggling. Or leg hold traps, where, you know, an animal is caught by the leg, and sometime, a couple days later, somebody will come around, and if it's still alive, maybe shoot it, or then just shooting it by itself. So this is what they consider to be them doing their job successfully, and so I think that's just the first part. But more than that, because their job is something that most Americans would find revolting.
Yeah.
They're very secretive, and like I say, they won't exactly tell you or I, or even a member of Congress like Peter DeFazio, what exactly they're doing, why exactly they're doing it. And when they're secretive like this, they're not very accountable. And that means that the public and members of Congress can't really follow what this agency is doing. Except, oddly enough, the Congress continues to give them $160 to $170 million a year. It's just that nobody is entirely clear how all that money is spent.
Yeah, this is just incredible and so unacceptable, Tim. Now, there's been a downward trend in the overall number of animals killed by wildlife services since 2008. But in 2013, there was a reversal, and the number went up to 2 million. So that's a rise in 30%. What's the explanation for that?
I have no idea, and I really, really wish I could tell you. First of all, I should point out, 2 million is the number of native animals that they killed. There's another 2 million of non-native species that didn't originate here in the United States, that were also killed. So in case listeners look into this a little on their own, you might be confused by the numbers. But of this native species, there was a high of around just over 3 million in 2008. And we saw the numbers coming down, and we thought, well, maybe this agency's getting some sense about it and realizing that there's a big public backlash to what they're doing. But apparently not, as the number has shot right back up, and they're finding some need to kill more animals.
Tim, earlier you gave all these incredible numbers and statistics of the mammals being killed. How are the numbers determined, and are they reliable?
Well, these are the agency's own numbers, so we have to go by what they're telling us. Given the secrecy that surrounds this agency, I guess we would look at this as the minimum number that they're killing. Who knows whether or not other additional killings go unreported?
And
I should point out, I was just going to point out real quick.
Sure.
There's also a bunch of animals that are unintentionally killed. They kill about 5,000 animals by mistake every year that they know of, including thousands of pets and sometimes endangered species. And sometimes, you know, what happens is they'll poison an animal. It'll wander off into the forest or the desert, and it'll die. That carcass will never be found. Now, if that carcass was poisoned, other animals will come in and then eat the poisoned carcass, and then they'll go off and die. And this poison just spreads through the ecosystem this way. So it's undoubtedly the case that there are more animals being killed by the service, and not to mention the disruption of ecosystems and all the knock-on effects that happens from that. Much higher numbers probably than the numbers that are being reported.
And how are people reacting when they learn about these animals being killed by the U.S. government?
Well, I mean, from my point of view, I haven't heard anything but disgust from the vast majority of the public. Now, you know, you will get people in the ranching interest that say, oh, well, this is the price of doing business. But it doesn't have to be the price of doing business. There are other ways to go about this business besides just coming in and a wholesale slaughter of anything that you think, and I would say federal government subsidized wholesale slaughter of anything that you think might be a threat to your business. There are non-lethal means, there are preventative measures that can be taken that make much or all of this killing completely unnecessary.
Don't go away. More with Tim Rehm, staff attorney, Endangered Species Program at the Center for Biological Diversity. We're going to talk about the petition that's being filed currently. Animals Today is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. And listen, if you like what you hear and want to support Animals Today, your tax-deductible donation of any size is very much appreciated. aianimals.org. Each and every one of our shows after being broadcast are archived on our website, and you can listen to any one of our past shows, which you will find right on the website, and we encourage you to share them with your friends and family. Again, the website is animalstodayradio.com. Feel free to email me your comments or show suggestions at drlori@animalstodayradio.com, drlori at animalstodayradio.com. Don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
Right now, custom banners and posters start at just $6.49. Offer valid on pickup or delivery, N629. Details in-store or online at staples.com/springcopy. Staples. Make more happen.
This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week, right here on the station. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Back to Animals Today. We're talking about the millions of wild animals that are killed by the U.S. government. And Tim, you have, along with partners, the Animal Welfare Institute, Animal Legal Defense Fund, and Project Coyote, have submitted a petition addressing actually addressed to three people, namely Tom Vilsack, Secretary, U.S. Department of Agriculture. We have Kevin Shea, Administrator, Animal Plant Health and Inspection Service, William Clay, Deputy Administrator for Wildlife Services. Tell us about this petition and what it asks.
Well, if you have an agency that's secretive and unaccountable and ineffective, we're looking to try to get an agency that is transparent, accountable, and more effective. And not more effective at killing animals, but more effective at trying to address the underlying problems that is the supposed justification for killing all these animals. So one of the things we ask for is transparency. We say that American public should be able to find out how their tax dollars are being used to kill these animals. We want to be able to know what animals are killed, where, when, and what was the justification for killing each of these animals. We think that the agency is probably being a little bit sloppy around this, and there's probably a kind of a trigger-happy mentality among some people in this agency. And if it's more transparent, probably there's not going to be as much killing. The second thing we want is biodiversity has to be protected here. We have Endangered Species Act, the National Environmental Policy Act, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, the Bald Golden Eagle Protection Act. These laws have to be followed. And so we want regulations in place that are going to make sure that this agency stops operating in the dark and thwarting these laws and actually, you know, responds to them. The third thing we want is humane treatment. You know, a video surfaced, or pictures rather, surfaced recently on Facebook of a Wildlife Services officer letting his dogs out of his truck so that they can go and attack a coyote who's trapped in a leg hold trap. And he witnesses this thing, he photographs it, and he proudly puts up pictures of watching his dogs rip this coyote, this defenseless coyote, apart. We called for an investigation, and the agency found no wrongdoing. The kind of stuff that's going on in this agency, even apart from the crazy people that do stuff like that, it's an agency founded on inhumane behavior. And so we think that there are humane ways of solving these problems. Principally, it's about engaging in non-lethal methods, night corralling, putting up fences, having guard dogs or guard llamas or other animals that can protect your herd from certain predators, detectors for when predators are coming in. All of these kinds of things are generally cheaper, and they're safer, and they work better than simply going out and trying to kill or gas or poison or snare animals. So we want that. And then finally, we think that this agency has a useful role to play in controlling invasive species, non-native species that have come into this country and can do real damage to ecosystems, and to have the principal role of the agency being addressing those kinds of issues rather than simply being essentially a handout for agribusiness. So that's what the petition would call for. And I should let you know, there's some positive models out there of people who or parts of the country that have switched to this kind of way of doing business. The Marin County here in San Francisco, about 14 years ago, just rejected its contract with Wildlife Services, and they started engaging in the kind of thing I was just talking about, working with ranchers to put up fences, put up lights, put up detectors, get these guard animals in place, and not never using lethal control, but putting prevention first. And they found it's cheaper, it's safer, and it's working better for them.
Wow. I have to tell you, Tim, I had no idea this was happening, and I'm sure this is very, very informative and educational for my listeners. So thank you for coming on. What happens now with your petition? I mean, does the agency have to respond?
Yeah, that's unfortunately all that really has to happen in the first stage. They have to look at our petition, and they have to provide a well-reasoned response to each of our allegations and requests. So if we say you need to write some regulations to force transparency, they have to say, if they don't want to, they have to say no, and here's why we don't think that's a good idea. And if their answers are irrational and they have not provided a well-reasoned response, well, then we can go to court and we might be able to force them to do those kind of things. But the petition is really only one way that we need to address this agency. We need people calling their members of Congress, their congresspeople and senators, because, you know, I can guarantee you members of Congress don't understand what's going on. And so we need our senators and we need our members of Congress to really understand what this Wildlife Services Agency is and how they're wasting, or I wouldn't even say wasting, how they're abusing taxpayer dollars. And then, you know, we just need to spread the word, and people need to be informed about this and need to be sharing this kind of information with other people. And if we get enough public pressure out there, you know, we can get the kind of change that we need.
Tim, earlier you mentioned about protected species also being killed. Tell us more about that.
Well, one great example would be wolves. I mean, in most of the country, the gray wolf is still listed as an endangered species. And yet, Wildlife Services is finding a way somehow or another to kill, you know, hundreds of wolves. Now, protections have been listed in certain areas, but any of the killing of wolves like that, it's just almost all completely unnecessary. We have a great example from Oregon where the Center for Biological Diversity and several of our conservation allies sued, and we stopped the state from being allowed to shoot wolves. We stopped the federal government from being allowed to shoot wolves there. And what happened was ranchers figured out how to engage in preventative measures. They got range riders out riding with their cattle. They put up fences and head detectors and found out where the collared wolves are and spent a little more time with their herds. And what happened there was the number of depredations on livestock went down as the number of wolves in the state tripled. So there's good models out there that you can have protected species who are predators, and you can protect your livestock, and you don't have to shoot those predators to deal with that and to have a profitable business.
Very, very good point. You know, Tim, this is all so disturbing. What can citizens do? Who can we contact?
Well, I'd say one of the great things that you could do is just go right out onto our website. It's called biologicaldiversity.org, or it would be the first hit if you just put in Center for Biological Diversity into Google. And if you, in the search box at the top right corner of our website, type in Wildlife Services, you'll see our petition, which is a very readable document, and you can go through and learn a lot more about this agency, its history, and what exactly it engages in. And then, you know, if you feel like you're educated enough already, you know where you are on this issue, a call to your congressman, a letter to your congressman, an email, or to your senator, and say, hey, I've heard about Wildlife Services. I can't believe the federal government is doing this. Would you please look into this? Would you please tell me what you think about this rogue agency? That is the kind of thing that forces somebody in a congressman's office to do some homework and to learn about what's going on and forces them to take a stand on this issue. And I think, you know, if there's more light shown on this situation, the more people see and understand what's going on, the more outrage there's going to be and the more quickly we'll be able to get change.
Tim Rein, thank you so much for sharing this information with me and my listeners.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be here. Shining the light is what we need to do, and hopefully everybody here can just keep on sharing this information and we can take this agency down.
Thank you very, very much.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer. You are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at aianimals.com.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Lumber Liquidators low flooring prices just got even lower with the Buy More, Save More sale on now. Save $100, $300, even $500. The more you buy, the more you save on over 300 varieties of laminate, hardwood, and more. Save on striking and durable bamboo, including easy-to-install solid click strand bamboo for just $219 a square foot. That's 37% less than other flooring stores. Go to LumberLiquidators.com to find the store nearest you. Plus, get special 15-month financing. But hurry, this sale ends June 17th.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, I just want to say thank you for making my Geico Insurance ID card digital. It's easy to find on the app, it doesn't give me paper cuts, and I always have it on hand because it's on my phone. Because of this, I finally cleaned out my glove box, which was filled with years of paper ID cards. Any thought on what I should put in my glove box now? Sincerely, Trent Patterson. Trent, what can you put in the glove box? Here's a crazy thought. How about gloves?
Digital insurance ID cards, just a tap away on the Geico app.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
Right now, custom banners and posters start at just $6.49. Offer valid on pickup or delivery, N629. Details in-store or online at staples.com/springcopy. Staples. Make more happen.
Do you make over $50,000 a year? Are you a full-time W-2 employee? How would you support your family if you lost your job? Could you survive on what state unemployment pays? Plan ahead with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance that brings you up from what state unemployment pays to 50% of your former weekly salary. If your salary is over $50,000 a year, you're a full-time W-2 employee, and you want to protect your family and assets. Call Income Assure for a free quote. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. That's 800-308-2249. See how little it costs to secure up to 50% of your salary with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance. Call Income Assure now or visit us online at www.incomeassure.com/ATM. www.incomeassure.com/ATM.
Mom, you text so slow. Abbreviate. Use BTW for by the way and LOL for laugh out loud.
Well, I'm texting Dad to make a reservation at America's Best Value Inn. Got one for that?
ABVI.
ABVI?
America's Best Value Inn. Everyone knows their BVOTR, the best value on the road.
You're right. They have free internet and continental breakfast at most of their 1,000 hotels in North America, plus instant rewards with the Value Club.
You'd better text Dad to go to ABVI.com ASAP.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Do you remember the tragic mauling and killing of a two-year-old boy at the Pittsburgh Zoo and PPG Aquarium a few years ago? Well, on November 4th, 2012, a boy somehow escaped his mother's grasp and fell over the railing of the African painted dogs exhibit. Now, after bouncing off a net meant to catch falling debris, Maddox Durkosh landed among the dogs and was promptly attacked and killed. The following year's parents, Jason and Elizabeth Durkosh, sued the zoo and then were countersued, with the defendants claiming the mother was at fault due to carelessness, negligence, and or recklessness in restraining her son. Well, last week a settlement was reached between the parties, and although the terms are confidential, the news made us wonder about the safety and health risks people may face from animals when they are in zoos, as well as the various legal factors that go along with those injuries. Now, I want to remind you of a 2004 incident where a 300-pound gorilla got loose in a Dallas zoo, injuring three. This gorilla was shot and killed at the zoo, and the city of Dallas paid the injured parties a total of $500,000. So I'm very pleased to welcome Danny Lutz, litigation fellow at Animal Legal Defense Fund, a graduate of NYU School of Law. Danny has participated in biodiversity conservation projects in Madagascar, Colorado, and Kenya, and has litigated cases on subjects ranging from roadside zoos to foie gras to hunting contests. Welcome to the program, Danny.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
So this is such a tragic story, and of course our sympathies are with Matthew's family. What is your understanding of how this killing happened?
From what I understand, there was the mother was holding Maddox up on the railing above the exhibit, and it sounds like Maddox lunged out of her hands and fell into the to the exhibit. Was unfortunately and tragically attacked and killed.
Now, cases of deaths of people at zoos seem to be quite rare. How about injuries from bites, scratches, and that sort of thing? Are they fairly uncommon as well?
No, actually, I think injuries at zoos are commonplace, and for a number of reasons. First is just the sheer numbers of zoos that are out there. There are 224 accredited by the AZA, and many zoos, and that's the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, and many zoos don't even meet this accreditation. So if there are that many in the AZA, there are countless more that are roadside zoos and painting zoos. I think second is injuries are commonplace because of what it means to be a zoo. As we saw in Blackfish, the movie about the trainer that was killed by an orca, wild animals have their own volition, and even when kept in captivity, they can act in unexpected ways, attacking handlers and visitors. And third, we don't have that strong of a proactive regulatory regime for ensuring public safety at zoos. All of these factors together, I think, make injuries and deaths at zoos really, unfortunately, more common than one would expect.
Danny, from a legal standpoint, are injuries at zoos from animals or any cause similar to playground injuries or theme park injuries?
They can be, but the consequences can be slightly different. And that's because the legal consequences of an injury at a zoo can be affected by a number of factors. The most important is the state in which the injury occurs. Different states have different rules regarding liability for injuries from captive animals. Most are under a strict liability regime, which means that for inherently dangerous activities, if an injury occurs, the party responsible for the injury is held liable, regardless of whether they're at fault. And the keeping of dangerous animals, animals with dangerous propensities, like wild dogs, is in every law school class, a classic case of an inherently dangerous activity that would cause strict liability. But another rule that states have is negligence. Other states may say that injuries from animals can be under a negligence regime. And what negligence does is it sets a standard of care for an activity. So if the zoo meets that standard of care, like, say, having a 16-foot wall around a tiger enclosure, and an injury still happens, then the zoo wouldn't be held liable because it's no longer at fault. It met that negligence standard of care. So it depends on where the state is, where the zoo is, which state the zoo is in.
What laws and regulations guide operating procedures zoos employ to protect the safety of the public? And you mentioned earlier the AZA, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. Do they have anything to do with the safety of the visitors?
The AZA does have, they set standards that do affect visitor safety. To be accredited, for example, a zoo has to create a barrier to separate big cats of this 16-foot high wall. Most zoos seek AZA accreditation because it allows them to participate in the breeding of and transfer of animals and to have that certification, which they can use to entice the public to come visit. So it does set some standards. But outside of the AZA, as I mentioned, the regulatory regime, the proactive regulatory regime, is quite meager. There's only the Animal Welfare Act, which is primarily to protect the health and welfare of animals. They do have a couple of regulations within that act that affect visitor safety. And the Occupational Health and Safety Act, which deals with worker safety, can also lead to protections for visitors. But because of this meager proactive regulatory regime, people who are injured often turn to tort law, and that's this, like the lawsuit we saw at the Pittsburgh Zoo, which is a reactive way to create or to provide redress and remedies for an injury or a death that can occur. And that's, those type of awards can then, in turn, deter zoos or cause zoos to be more protective so that they don't get sued later on.
I understand what you're saying, and it just seems to me that families should take some responsibility for their own safety while at zoos. I mean, you can't be holding a two-year-old child above, you know, above the enclosure of a wild dog, you know, cage.
Right, and I think that's what the zoo was arguing in their counterclaim as well. So, Pennsylvania, the state, has a legal regime that allows for a sharing of fault. And so in this situation, the mother who was holding her kid above the enclosure was, at least in the zoo's perspective, partly at fault. And this would, down the line, lead to a splitting of both the legal the liability, and then ultimately what sort of damages would be awarded to the family. Likely that there would be a reduced amount of damages because of the parent's actions. I think the legal term for this would be negligent supervision, that the parents were acting negligently as they were supervising their children.
Right. Is there any way the zoo or some incident like this that the zoo would go to trial?
I think that turns on what type of zoo the facility is. There are a whole range of zoos, from roadside zoos that are privately owned and act more like menageries of people keeping animals for their private collection yet still want to make a bit of money off of visitors, or a big municipal zoo that, on the other end of the spectrum, is a municipal zoo, which is trying to provide an educational purpose to their citizens. Zoos that are interested in the educational purpose or having a lot of visitors may act more rationally here and want to avoid trial at all costs because bad things can come out of trial, like evidence and records and the continuing presence in the newspapers and local media. All of that would be very harmful to having future visitors at your zoo. But if you're really interested in the principle of it all, because you think these animals are yours, as we often see with roadside zoos, then that type of defendant may be more willing to take this, to fight it all the way to the end.
Very good. Danny Lutz, Litigation Fellow at Animal Legal Defense Fund. Thank you so much for coming on Animals Today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Animals Today is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. And listen, if you like what you hear and want to support Animals Today, your tax-deductible donation of any size is very much appreciated. aianimals.org. Each and every one of our shows after being broadcast are archived on our website, and you can listen to any one of our past shows, which you will find right on the website, and we encourage you to share them with your friends and family. Again, the website is animalstodayradio.com. Feel free to email me your comments or show suggestions at drlori@animalstodayradio.com, drlori@animalstodayradio.com. Thanks for listening.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, IAnimals.org.
Lumber Liquidators' low flooring prices just got even lower with the Buy More, Save More sale on now. Save $100, $300, even $500. The more you buy, the more you save on over 300 varieties of laminate, hardwood, and more. Save on striking and durable bamboo, including easy-to-install solid click strand bamboo for just $219 a square foot. That's 37% less than other flooring stores. Go to LumberLiquidators.com to find the store nearest you. Plus, get special 15-month financing. But hurry, this sale ends June 17th.
Mom, you text so slow. Abbreviate. Use BTW for by the way and LOL for laugh out loud.
Well, I'm texting Dad to make a reservation at America's Best Value Inn. Got one for that?
ABVI.
ABVI?
America's Best Value Inn. Everyone knows their BVOTR, the best value on the road.
You're right. They have free internet and continental breakfast at most of their 1,000 hotels in North America, plus instant rewards with the Value Club.
You'd better text Dad to go to ABVI.com ASAP.
At last, Nexium, the purple pill, is available without a prescription for frequent heartburn. See those women drinking their iced mocha whatevers? Now they have Nexium-level protection. That guy struggling to text and eat soup at the same time? Him too. Introducing Nexium 24-Hour, the protection of the number one prescribed acid-blocking brand, just without the prescription. New Nexium 24-Hour. Nexium-level protection, now in the heartburn aisle.
May take 1 to 4 days. Use as directed to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
At last, Nexium, the purple pill, is available without a prescription for frequent heartburn. See those women drinking their iced mocha whatevers? Now they have Nexium-level protection. That guy struggling to text and eat soup at the same time? Him too. Introducing Nexium 24-Hour, the protection of the number one prescribed acid-blocking brand, just without the prescription. New Nexium 24-Hour, Nexium-level protection, now in the heartburn aisle.
May take 1 to 4 days. Use as directed to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
You can't beat the open road, but saving money on motorcycle insurance is a close second. That's why I switched to Geico. Reminds me of the time I switched to a new helmet without a face mask and swallowed a bunch of gnats when I accidentally yawned. Those suckers tasted bad. Unlike Geico Motorcycle Savings, which always taste real good.
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
Back to the show. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori. How you doing?
Good.
You know, a few days ago, there was a SeaWorld roundtable. This was put on by organization Voice of San Diego. You can watch this panel discussion on Ustream.tv. And this was a healthy debate featuring a few people against the captivity of the orcas and a few of the SeaWorld employees. Naomi Rose, the marine mammal scientist with Animal Welfare Institute, led the opposition. Susan Gray Davis was there. She's a former UCSD professor who wrote a book about SeaWorld. And Dr. Todd Robeck was there. He was responsible for SeaWorld's breeding and reproduction program. And Christy Bertis, orca trainer and 25 years at SeaWorld. And the debate was pretty contentious. And if you watch it, I think you'll see how a lot of the SeaWorld arguments were sort of disproven.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty good if you really want to see firsthand what the debate's about. If you were hopeful that the increase in technology like drones and computers and various internet technologies were going to do away with the use of dogs and animals for military purposes, well, you got to forget that for a while, because there is a growing use of technology not to replace these dogs, which, as you know, get killed and injured during their duty, but just to assist them to do it better. So you've got a whole proliferation of vests and jackets and ancillary equipment now being outfitted to the dogs to help them perform their duties better, to help them stay cooler, to provide guidance as they go along. So there are thousands of dogs in the U.S. military around the world. They are bred, they're trained, they are apparently serve a valuable purpose, and I don't see how we're going to get rid of that right now. But frequently, not well, the numbers are hard to come by, but they do get killed, they get injured, and they develop post-traumatic stress disorder. And we do hear the stories of the, you know, dogs come back to the States, they're reunited with their former trainers or handlers, and it's a happy story. But many of them don't come back. There's also pictures of the dogs in body bags. There's pictures of the dogs, you know, the funeral services for the dogs. And it's quite a interesting area to pursue.
It's a huge topic. We should talk about this on one of our shows. I mean, it's really sad, too. You know, it sounds like it's in five alternative ways.
They're augmenting,
and they can make possibly even more dangerous for the dogs.
So the dogs, some of these vests or jackets are equipped with microphones and, you know, with speakers, and you can remotely see where the dog is, and then you can give commands and guide the dog around as the dog is sniffing or as the dog is hunting down the enemy. Also, there some of the vests that are being developed have little actuators that will provide a little pressure along the dog's body to guide it along. So you can just
steer
the dog. That's exactly the thing. And you know, the vests, they tend to be heavy. They tend to overheat the dog. So I just saw a video, turns out the other day, of one of the vests being tested on a dog, and they've got this dog going out of an airplane, strapped to a guy's belly, okay, parachuting to test the abilities of this new vest. It turns out this dog is a three-legged dog. He had one of his legs amputated from a previous gunshot injury. So you don't get retired, I guess, when you get shot. You get to keep on going because you're so well-suited toward these tasks.
And I think this is so sad.
It is a strange thing. Apparently, the state of the art is the dog's nose is, you know, it's highly developed, and they are able to train the right dogs to sniff out these explosives and to figure out where the explosive roadside bombs are. That's pretty valuable. Probably, for sure, has saved many, many right servicemen.
Oh, I understand it's valuable. Uh-huh. I just think there's a lot of ethical issues surrounding this topic.
I agree.
That need to be discussed.
Right. So the various, like I said, technological things are not anytime going to replace the use of the dogs.
Yeah.
Speaking of dogs and dogs in service, did you hear about the unfortunate incident that happened on a commercial flight where a service dog had to relieve himself? Well, it happened on a flight from Los Angeles to Philadelphia. This flight was on the tarmac, delayed for 2 hours, and the dog, 1 hour into the flight, just had to do his thing.
No big deal,
except for a lot of the passengers were sort of freaking out, and the snow was supposed to be pretty horrible. One passenger took pictures and he tweeted, "So there's a full-size dog that's on my flight. Well, it did what dogs do and went to the bathroom when it felt like it, smack dab in the middle of the aisle." And actually, the crew did their best to clean up the mess, and they were, to a certain extent, able to clean it up, but the smell lingered. And then after they had cleaned it all up, about an hour later, the dog did it again. So what happened? This incident brought down this plane. The pilot decided to divert to Kansas City International Airport for the so-called pit stop and allow this to go on. And apparently is quite a scene on this plane. They, in fact, ran out of suitable materials to clean this stuff up. So I am amazed this doesn't happen more often.
Me too.
Incredible. And it's a big dog, so there's a lot of volume, right? And the question, it raises a number of questions, like, was the dog sick? Because, why did this dog, only 3 hours into its flight, 2 hours on the tarmac, one in the air, go to the bathroom, and then once again an hour later? So that raised the question of sick dog. And then the whole question of these imposter service dogs, or these fake service dogs. So if you've got many, many more dogs in the air than ought to be, this is going to happen much more often
than
it should.
That's right.
So I'm sure we're going to hear more about this, and at very least, the airplanes need to be equipped with better cleaning materials and disinfectants and anti or whatever that neutralizes the smell, right?
That's right. I don't think you could blame the dogs.
Yeah.
Can't blame the dogs.
Okay, well, someone will blame the dog.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.